Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, December 1st, 2010. This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, featuring true hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more, available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles, and by Carbonite. Backing up the files on your PC or Mac is safe and easy with Carbonite. For a free trial plus 2 free months with purchase, go to Carbonite.com, offer code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Becky Worley.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day with you, try to make sense of it all. Breaking news. Leo just ran in with this for us right before we started to record. Justin Bieber swearing off YouTube. As reported
Speechless.
By Forbes.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Over the past weekend, internet pop sensation Justin Bieber went to upload the music video of his new song, Pray, to his personal YouTube site. He was surprised, rudely surprised, to find it was automatically blocked on copyright grounds. So this is the way it works with the DMCA, right? Universal Music Group has, among many others in the industry, pressured YouTube to put in automatic takedowns. So we don't let anything through. Bieber goes to put his own video up. The automatic takedown says, hey, that's copyrighted material. Yanks it off of YouTube. Bieber gets mad at YouTube and Vivo, that YouTube has a partnership with. YouTube says, this is between y'all. This is between you and your Universal Music Group. We just run the show. We do whatever you tell us to do.
Yeah, I'm reporting live on the scene here, Tom, of this breaking story. I'm on a computer that has Facebook loaded, and I can indeed report that Justin Bieber has uploaded the video Pray to his Facebook account. He has over 16 million fans on Facebook. So while as silly as Justin Bieber sort of is, he's emblematic of
it's not getting political.
He's not.
I don't want to offend all of the TWiT audience, but you know, the folks here on TNT, there may be a few that aren't don't have the Bieber fever. But I just think it's funny that, you know, it would be a guy like Justin Bieber who has a ton of pop culture appeal.
Well, you know, this has absolutely happened to other artists before, but it takes somebody like Justin Bieber to actually catch people's attention. Justin Bieber's latest Twitter is to Taylor Swift 13 saying, "The feeling is mutual. Proud of you."
Way to go. That's deep. Yeah. I think we all understand all of the tech news with that today. We don't even need to do the rest of the show.
On to a lighter story. WikiLeaks has been kicked off of Amazon after pressurization after being depressurized by the United States government. And several members of Congress, including Joseph Lieberman, U.S. State Department, put pressure on Amazon not to host the WikiLeaks data anymore. And so Amazon has kicked them off, and WikiLeaks has moved back to their previous Swedish hosting provider. And of course, one of the reasons they moved to Amazon was because of the DOS attacks.
Right. So there, you know, was a DDoS against them by a hacker who goes by Jester. He's claiming responsibility. There have been rumors floating around that he was arrested and his equipment seized, but I think that's just rumor. We haven't seen any corroboration of that. I think the Amazon portion of this story is more interesting, and Joe Lieberman was scathing about Amazon's hosting of the site, and he said, WikiLeaks' illegal, outrageous, and reckless acts have compromised national security, put lives at risk. No responsible company, whether American or foreign, should assist WikiLeaks in its efforts to disseminate the stolen material. So I mean, I think the backlash too much for Amazon, and quickly it came off of their servers.
And latest post, and as you pointed out, we don't think Jester has been arrested because he's still, or she is still, posting on Twitter. Latest posting from Jester says, at Taylor Swift 13, stand strong with just... No, that's not what it says. But 16 minutes ago, for the record, I have not been lifted and do not require any finances or donations.
So, well, you know, I think it's hard to know where this one's going, but the bigger part of the story is certainly the Amazon portion.
Verizon announced today that LTE goes live in 4 days in 38 cities, 60 airports, and you'll have 2 USB modems to choose from if you want to use the fast LTE service. That's December 5th. that it will go live. And it'll be $50 a month for 5 gigabytes of data, $80 a month for 10 gigabytes of data, and $10 per gigabyte when you go over. That's almost the same. I mean, I think that is the same as the 3G or the EVDO plan.
Yeah, and they're promising speeds are going to be, you know, they say 10 times faster. And I think that it's compelling when you're looking at the options. The only things that are sort of an inhibitor here is they only have two USB-based, you know, sort of MiFi doohickey bobbers.
Well, no, they're not MiFis, actually. That's
right,
a good
they're
point. They're modems. They're USB modems, and they only work with Windows Phone or with Windows computers.
They only work with Windows. They don't put out a hotspot, and they're USB-based. So I think that's an inhibitor for folks who are looking to use this for their laptop on the road. But the speeds are great. Engadget did a really good comparison of the prices around all of the new faster cellular data networks, and they're all pretty competitive. The biggest things that I noticed right away for me, just in terms, you know, what's great about this is you can look through it and see, well, let's see, how would I use this? For me, the upload speeds at Sprint were actually faster than Verizon's in their WiMAX environment. And the speeds, you know, the prices for the speed is just about the same. What did you see, Tom?
It looks to me, okay, so now that we have Verizon LTE starting in December 5th, you have several choices for high speed. Let's not even call them 4G service, although they will. LTE, EVDO, WiMAX, which is from Sprint and Clear, and HSPA Plus, which you can get from AT&T and T-Mobile, which gives you, you know, pretty fast internet as well, 14.4 megabits per second. And in some cases, HSPA Plus is rated faster than WiMAX. I look at this, and Sprint WiMAX seems to be the best deal if you can get it in your area. The problem is it's only launched in 68 markets. That's more than LTE, but it's not nearly as much as HSPA Plus. But you get an unlimited data plan for $50 a month with Sprint WiMAX. So if you're in a WiMAX area, no doubt that's the way to go. HSPA Plus gives you fast internet in 200 plus markets. $35 a month for 200 megabytes. Forget that. That's useless. $60 a month for 5 gigabytes. I'd say the next one is probably Verizon EVDO, just because it's available so many places and it's got a nice $50 per 5 gigabytes price.
Yeah, and all the Verizon hardware that's compatible with LTE is also backwards compatible to, obviously, the EVDO. So you sort of get the best of both worlds there.
Yeah, although it won't do handoff. If you're in a 3G area and you start downloading something and you move into an LTE area, it won't switch to the faster one. It'll finish its connection in 3G. So that's something to keep aware of.
Oh, that's kind of janky.
Verizon says that they will be coming out with more devices for accessing data within weeks, more modems. So hopefully we'll see a MiFi type device. And they also said consumer oriented devices, probably meaning phones, will be announced at CES. So you won't really see an LTE phone until after the first of the year.
Yep.
The FCC is going to vote on net neutrality rules later this month, December the 21st. FCC Commissioner Jenikowski made an announcement today and unveiled sort of your basic rules of the road for what they're going to do. They're not going to reclassify internet as a telecommunications. They're not going to do that. Instead, they're just going to put out these sort of guidelines.
Right. There are four basic tenets here. And the first one is all about transparency. Basically, what the FCC is saying is consumers have a right to know the basic information about how their networks are managed. And I think that they hope that stripping away some of the secrecy will make this a lot easier to oversee if this is implemented.
Second, no blocking. Internet users can send and receive lawful internet traffic of their choice using any device of their choice. You can't keep a device off your network. Now, that doesn't mean things like Google TV being blocked, because that's being blocked by a content provider. They're saying an ISP can't say, oh, no, you can't use that here. You have a legitimate device that's FCC authorized, a legal device, downloading legal material. You can go do whatever you want.
Right. And then the next tenet, the third one here, is I say the discrimination must be reasonable, which I think is really murky.
Discrimination,
here.
Not blocking. Discrimination means throttling, right?
Well, what they're saying is that, you know, the rule against blocking traffic is clear cut and it's going to be controversial, but it'll only allow them to prioritize based on what seemed like a lot of gray matter here. You know, can they prioritize voice over peer-to-peer? How's it going to be with video? I think there's a lot of devil in the details on this third point.
And fourth is reasonable network management will be allowed in order to deal with harmful traffic, congestion, other network problems. Again, that can be very vague. So we'll have to wait to see exactly how that's implemented if this is passed. Both Republican commissioners on the FCC are against this. It seems like the broadband networks themselves are for this, partly because this only applies to wireline, by the way. This does not apply to wireless networks. Wireless networks get a pass.
Well, they have to, they supposedly two of the four are being implemented for wireless, which is right. Transparency and no blocking. But the other two seem like an open door. And your point about the Republicans on the panel are important because this is being pushed through right now. And the vote is scheduled to take place about a month before, we see a big changeover in the House and Republicans come in, many of whom are opposed to this legislation. So this is very political. It's still open in terms of it still hasn't been decided, but certainly this is a step towards some. Well, I don't know. What do you think? This is going to make things better, clearer? Is this going to resolve anything?
No, this does almost nothing. it's rather toothless since the FCC doesn't do anything to assert or improve its ability to regulate. So even if the FCC does pass its rules, they could be challenged and knocked down some other way. I think it's just spinning its wheels. However, the NCTA. The Media Access Project, Free Press, have all given tepid acceptance of it. NCTA says that seems reasonable, but they have the right to object. Gigi Sohn of Public Knowledge says it's the right direction, needs to be strengthened. Media Access Project says they're disappointed. And Free Press says it's fake net neutrality. However, you know what the real indicator of this is, Becky? The stock market, right? Comcast stock up 4%, Verizon shares up 1%, Time Warner share up more than 2%. Stock market says, yep, we like this. Toothless rules. Perfect. Exactly what we wanted to see.
And strangely, there's no stock for consumer rights. What's best for the end user?
Would that be an exchange trade fund? Some sort of...
bellies?
Yeah, some sort of thing like that. I don't know. All right, let's take a break. Thank Ford and voice-activated Sync for helping to bring you true hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more, and helping bring us tech news today so that we can give it to you. There's a new program from Ford called the 2012 Ford Focus Global Test Drive. Your chance to get a sneak peek at a Ford Focus coming out in early 2011, and also a free trip to Madrid, Spain, where you can drive the Ford Focus at the Spain National Institute for Aerospace Technology. That's where Spain's defense ministry tests space rockets. So put it all together. This is a pretty sweet deal. What you need to do to get the sneak peek is submit a video now through December 31st, 2010. If you're selected, Ford will donate $10,000 to the charitable cause of your choice. So pick that charitable cause, explain in the video why you think you should be selected and why this charity is your pick, and then submit it at TwitFordFocus.com. That's TwitFordFocus.com. You can get some Ford Focus images if you want to include them in your video at Ford.com/cars/focus/2012. And you have until December 31st to upload your video. That's TwitFordFocus.com. We thank them for their support. Google is going to start an ebook store in the United States by the end of this month and worldwide by next month. The Wall Street Journal reports that when you buy an ebook from Google, it's going to be available in any browser anywhere. And you'll be able to download it as well, although no word on what format it'll be in.
Yeah, this is a little strange because, okay, let's think about this. Why would Google want to do this and create a browser-based reader? Well, it's great. People are online. But then what about when you're not online? Then you'd think, how are they going to cache all the books? Where don't you need a separate piece of software? I don't quite get this. The model seems weird, and the business model is hinky, too, for the publishers, right?
Yeah. Google's offering a 52% share of the revenue, according to PC Mag. That's much lower. Apple offers 70%. Amazon just changed their Kindle terms to be able to opt in to getting 70% instead of getting 30%, which, why wouldn't you? Google won't allow the price of the books to exceed the lowest list price of the print edition. So even if you're like, well, I'll take 52%, but I'll hike up the price, you can't do that. Your default will be 80% of print list price. You can protect it with DRM or not. That's up to you. So I'm not sure how many publishers are going to sign on for this. A, because Google's still fighting orphaned works in court. That's a whole separate issue. This is just the normal digital publications that you see in the Amazon, Sony, and Barnes & Noble stores already. And they've got to go and strike deals with all the publishers independently to get them in the store.
And going back to your first point, I think it would be a tipping point for Google if they could offer all of those works that are in the public domain and all the books that they're aspiring to scan.
Well, they can offer public domain. We should be clear about that. It's the works that we don't know whether they're in the public domain or not that are being fought over in court.
Right. I mean, if they had enough critical mass with those books and that had moved forward enough, they say only about 10% of the books they want to scan have been done. But if they had that to offer in, then I could see that being a tipping point to make this really valuable to an end user. But right now, it starts to just feel like, oh, yet another entry into what's become a fractured ebook reader market.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the idea of being able to read it on any device that has a browser, I mean, potentially you could read it on a Kindle because the Kindle has that experimental browser.
But that is just insane.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's like saying you could eat a Big Mac at Burger King. So what? why not just order the Whopper, man?
The problem, the problem is when you buy a book from Amazon, you can only read it on a device that has Amazon software. And granted, lots of devices have the Amazon software, but the Google book you can get anywhere without installing any kind of software other than a browser, which is probably already installed.
Yeah, but then you have the issue of online or off, and I still don't think we've heard the answer to that. So listen, Google's just going to put their toe in every pond that's out there. Why not? What do they have to lose? But I'm just not seeing this as an end user play yet. There are pieces, too many pieces missing in the puzzle right now.
I want to eat my burger wherever I want.
Well, Google. I sense that about you, Merritt.
Damn it. I want it my way, at McDonald's. All right. Still rumors flying about whether Groupon will be bought by Google or not, whether that's a good idea for Google, whether it's a good idea for Groupon. But a couple more details out today. Groupon is going to change the way they do things. Right now, it's one deal per city per day. They said they only do that because they needed to limit their growth at the beginning. They didn't want to get overwhelmed. Now, they've got so many people coming and so many deals that want to be made, so many companies that want to make deals with them. They're going to change the way they do it. They're going to allow companies to set up individual stores so that you can follow them, kind of a social networking thing, and have a feed of deals based on the companies you follow. So you'd get more than one deal per day. They'd still highlight specific deals, but you could have access in your feed of deals to multiple deals at a time. What do you think? It's a sign. I mean, CNBC has a story today saying that John Doerr, the venture capitalist, says Groupon is the fastest growing company ever.
Well, it's just so strange to me. I mean, listen, I'm all about the deal. I've just come off of Black Friday week, so I have deal fatigue right now. But I know that the American public is deal crazy right now. If the recession has had any impact on the long-term thinking of the American public, it's that we are addicted to deals. And Groupon just came in at just the right moment to seize on that momentum. But the problem is I feel like the emperor has no clothes to some extent because their business model is so replicable. What's to prevent someone else from doing this? I mean, is it just the momentum that they've already got with their name? I think this is crazy talk, the amount of money that Google's talking about spending on Groupon. And there was one analyst from Forrester Research, his last name is Molpuru, who wrote in a blog post, I love this, the $5 billion valuation is an absurd valuation for a company that is in a business with virtually no barriers to entry for competition and is younger than my toddler.
Well, that's dot-com era thinking in a way, right? We saw this a ton in 1999. Somebody had come up with an idea. There was no barrier to entry. There were multiple people doing it. There are other people doing this besides Groupon. I asked my sister this over Thanksgiving. I said, do you use Groupon? She's like, no, I use this other site. I can't remember which site she said.
Living Social or...
I think it was Living Social, actually.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them that are out there. I mean, Facebook is basically going to be able to do the same thing with Places. You know, we're going to get to a story later in the show talking about Twitter's valuation being $4 billion. So we're talking about a greater valuation than Twitter for a service that has an easily replicable model. I mean, my sense of Groupon right now is that it's like the internet's version of Ross. You know, Ross, where they take all the stuff.
Do you love it?
I love Ross.
I got it at Ross.
I got it at Ross. I love it. You love it? But, you know, so I mean, True, we are addicted to Ross, but there's 20 stores just like that, depending on where you live.
Well, you could say the same about a lot of things. There were a ton of auction sites, but eBay rose above. There were a ton of e-commerce sites and book-selling sites. Amazon rose above. The question is whether Groupon is going to be Facebook or Friendster.
Yeah.
Right?
Or you know, what was it, Pets.com.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would have to say is when you look at a company this way and they have so much momentum, it's also about infrastructure and business model. And, you know, they're really trying to grow. They acquired another company just today called Ludic, 25 people out of Palo Alto. I can't even figure out what these people do. I was trying to research them, and basically it says they have been innovating platforms to connect people with businesses, places, and things to do. They designed a new class of online
their development. They're you know, let's not mock them because it's not, they don't have a front end product. They're back end people that are going to help Groupon build their website.
And that's
but I think what's important about this is it shows Groupon has the money to buy capacity and talent already.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, they're definitely most interested. This is one of those, what do you call them, an acquire?
Acquire. Yeah.
Acquire. They're just basically buying the company to get the CEO.
Exactly. All right, let's move on. We got a couple more stories to get to before news fuse. Matthew Crippen, you remember we've talked about him, is on trial starting today for selling mod chips for the Xbox. The jury was picked. The jury was seated. They started the trial, and Justice Philip Gutierrez went on a 30-minute tirade against the prosecution. He started by saying, "I really don't understand what we're doing here." He took the prosecution to task for having two of their witnesses be under suspicion of breaking the law, criminal prosecution.
And let's specify what those two things were. So one of the people involved in the trial did some recording, audio and video of Crippen without his knowledge in a home. And in California, you're not allowed to videotape anyone with audio anywhere they think they have the right to privacy or what is an assumption of privacy. And then the second person was a Microsoft security analyst who admitted to having done the exact same thing when he was in college, modding Xboxes. So those are the two things that he's citing in terms of breaking the law.
The judge had ruled out the possibility of using fair use as a defense, but then seemed to backtrack on that. He said, "The only way to be able to play copied games is to circumvent the technology. How about backup games and homebrewed?" Well, that's the defense he just ruled out.
What about the homebrewed? Do you think he understands what's
happening?
I don't know.
He may have been off his meds today.
Maybe.
He also points out that the government's own intellectual property crimes manual concerning the DMCA says that the defendant has to have some knowledge that he was breaking the law. And Alan Chu of the prosecution proposed jury instructions that include the assertion that the government need not prove that Crippen willfully breached the law. And Gutierrez says the first prosecution 12 years later, and you're suggesting a standard that is akin to exactly contrary to the IP manual, that ignorance of the law is no excuse. You didn't even propose a middle ground. He's mad. Gutierrez is mad.
The prosecutor said, "Hey, you know what? Let's just take a little recess while we get it together."
Well,
and then
you
he apologized
down.
To the court. I think, Tom, you have a new hero, don't you?
Well, I don't know whether to love or to hate him. Like, he seems a little off his rocker, just on the quotes in this Wired story. But I do love the fact that he came out strong. You know, you got to admire that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting that he did go against his own sense of fair use, not being a defense.
Well, that's what worries me, right?
Well, yeah, like, he's either erratic or he's learning really fast. Hard to know.
Finally, the Federal Trade Commission advocates a plan that will let consumers on the internet choose whether they want information about their browsing habits to be collected. There's lots of ways to control this already, but the FTC recommends making it simpler.
Yeah, they're basically saying, they're calling it privacy by design. They want more transparency from online companies about how they're using privacy data. And they're really trying to advocate for the consumer, making it opt in as opposed to opt out, which is really important, as we know. You know, I think they're taking comments over the next 2 months. And my speculation is that about, I don't know, 20 or 30 or 40 people or maybe 100 at Google are cryptically writing notes right now, getting ready to make their own comment. This is a serious, I think, affront to their business.
It's going to take a congressional law. It's going to take Congress to step in and make a do not track system legal. FTC is just saying it's a good idea. They can't. They again, we're talking about a toothless agency at this point. They can't really make people do it.
You know, one thing that was interesting, though, because I was thinking about the do not call list and it's the efficacy that that has had in terms of getting, you know, what do you call them? The calls after dinner, trying to sell you something, solicitations down. And I was thinking, well, you know, the one good thing about this is that the big companies who are doing the massive privacy aggregation, they are, if there's anything that's pushed forward, they will be held to the standard. And while there will be little guys who are going to abuse it or find workarounds, just the way you get the calls after dinner from Canada, you know, or someone who's willing to go against the do not call list, the big guys will have to deal with this. And I think that's going to make a serious dent in the privacy industry.
It definitely raises the issue. I mean, the issue's already raised quite a bit. Everybody knows about privacy issue, but it is a good recommendation of, you know, this is a framework that we should work towards, making it easy for people to know what information is being collected about them and making it easy for them to figure out how to get out of it rather than having it buried on some terms of use page that's in print, you know, smaller than anybody can see. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good idea. All right, let's thank our other sponsor for today's episode, Carbonite, the leader in online backup. Somebody on Twitter sadly was saying they are learning maybe the hard way that if your data doesn't exist in three places, it doesn't exist at all. And I hope that doesn't mean that you've lost your data. But what that means is you should have your data on your computer, you should have it backed up locally, and you should have it backed up away from you. And for backing it up away from you, Carbonite is the leader in online backup. It's what I use because your computer could crash at any time and your local backup could get destroyed as well. So don't risk losing your important files on your computer. Automatically back them up from your PC or Mac. Mine's backed up right now. I can look at the little Carbonite logo right here. I can click on it. I can see, I can set my priority. I can open my preferences. Looks, a backup is in progress. I didn't even know it. It just happens in the background. You don't have to pay attention to it. It doesn't suck up a lot of bandwidth. It doesn't interfere when you're trying to stream video or anything like that, but it does keep your data secure. You can customize how you want to have it back up the different folders and things. There's a certain way that it's set up, but you can go in and tweak that. And because your files are backed up off-site, you can access your files from other computers or your phone, your iPhone or your BlackBerry. They have free apps for that. So you can actually use it to share some data around with yourself, you know, so that you can mirror some of your data. Unlimited backup for your PC or Mac. It's only $55 a year. That's just 15 cents a day. So try it out for free. You don't have to pay anything to try it out. Go to carbonite.com, enter the offer code TNT. If you decide to buy the service, you'll get 2 months free with the offer code TNT. Be sure to sign up for the free trial from the homepage to get the 2 months free. But you don't need a credit card to try it. Absolutely free. Carbonite.com, offer code TNT. See if it's for you. It was for me. On to the news fuse. It always leaves me disappointed. Windows Home Server is under siege. The appliance is meant to be an easy way to share files over your home network. However, Microsoft caused controversy when it recently removed the drive extender function from the product. That was a function that provided an easy way to plug in hard drives and add more storage. That's what you want on a file server, right? Now, HP has said they will not sell Home Server anymore when the new software, that's the one that drive extender is not in, is released. So one fewer company producing Windows Home Server boxes, and that's a big one, HP.
Mommy, why do we have a server in our house? Yeah. While it sometimes seems that everybody has a smartphone, Nielsen has released numbers that only a third of U.S. consumers actually own one. In 2008, it was 1 in 10. But get this, by the Christmas season of 2011, Nielsen predicts half of all U.S. consumers will have smartphones. The iPhone and the BlackBerry are tied for most phones in use, but the iPhone gets the nod for the most desired smartphone. Now, StatCounter released their numbers today, too, granting Symbian number one in usage worldwide, with iOS in second place.
I got a question. Do 140 characters equal $4 billion?
More.
Well, that's the speculation in the valley today as a bidding war is on for part ownership of Twitter. This is a funding. They're not being sold. The company is raising more venture capital, and investors who want in on the deal apparently want in pretty bad. John Doerr, again, of Kleiner Perkins, is upping the ante against a Russian firm that already has a stake in Facebook, Groupon, and Zynga. So as the VC pissing contest goes, so goes the perceived value of Twitter.
Yesterday, we told you about Winamp's bid to bring wireless syncing to your Android device. And now you have another option, DoubleTwist. Another iTunes-like piece of software is also launching wireless sync, which they're appropriately dubbing AirSync. You need DoubleTwist on your PC and their Android app on your phone. Still no wireless sync options for iOS, though.
A new hack that would allow you to add any app you want to a Windows phone has been killed in the cradle. Murder, I say. Chevron WP7 was released late last week and offered non-developers a way to install unofficial apps onto Windows Phone 7. Chevron WP7's creators say they pulled the program in order to fast-track discussions with Microsoft about an official homebrew program. Uh-huh. I'm going to start holding my breath now.
For Netflix, the major tipping point for them may be their access to movies straight out of the theaters and getting those movies before they run on cable. So getting a step closer, they've inked a deal with a major indie film studio, Film District. The studio is currently in production on films with actors like Ryan Gosling and Carey Mulligan. And it looks like the films that are in production now will hit the streaming service before HBO and right out of the box office.
When we talk about malware and use the term Trojan, you probably think nefarious script that comes in the guise of software, right? Well, security researchers from Secure Network Technologies went old school with the concept. They dressed in the uniforms of IT service technicians, walked into an unnamed company's premises with Trojan horse access points superglued into printers, connected those to the networks, and got behind all the corporate perimeter defenses. Kevin Mitnick must love this one because it's all about the social engineering. He's like, hey, free printers. Oh, sure. Thanks, man.
Oh, they told me to come. What? I'm not on the log? Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
With the new printer.
Gary was supposed to call. Did he not call?
Hello. More rumors spreading about the so-called PlayStation phone. A blurry video shows what's reported to be the Sony Ericsson Z1 in action. When I watched this, I thought it looked like a Bigfoot video because you really can't see very much. Tom called it Yeti-like. It has a 4-inch screen running Android 2.3, purportedly, whatever
supposedly.
It is. It's definitely a phone that can play games. No video of the slide-out controller that's rumored to be buried in the back. And that was what I was waiting to see to say, oh, yeah, that's definitely it. I mean, that could be any old phone.
Yeah,
give me a break.
All right. Let's finish it up with a story of a lawyer who speaks his mind. Florida attorney Graham Seifert has been putting up do-it-yourself legal documents. You pay $20, you fill in the blanks, and you have a motion to quash a subpoena. Now, the problem with this, Dunlap, Grubb & Weaver, they are the law firm operating as the U.S. Copyright Group, and they're out subpoenaing thousands of people at a time, most famously for the Hurt Locker case, want to slap sanctions on Seifert for inappropriate use of the forms. They want $5,000 in compensation. They say Mr. Seifert knows that these DOE defendants, meaning anonymous, will not do their own due diligence and will not comply with the proper rules, which is what is happening. People are not submitting the proper copies to the proper place, thereby gunking up the process. A lot of these subpoena motions to quash are being rejected because of that. However, Seifert, in an email, tells the Dunlap, Grubb, and Weaver attorneys, quote, I don't represent any of these people. I don't care. You couldn't tell by the tone of my voice when we were on the phone. I care more about my punctuation and my research than the people using it. When I'm not defending cases, I squeeze cash out of poor people for a living just like you. I understand, and I don't care. Not my clients. They didn't hire me. He goes on to say a lot of other crazy stuff.
He basically then asked the company that's threatening him, but if you guys have any job openings, I'm in. I'd be willing to work for you. So, I work for you. But if you're not interested in hiring me, then eat bleep and die is what he said.
Yeah. In short, if you're not going to hire me, take a flying F word and leave me alone about the forms, both of you. But if y'all want to keep up a correspondence about some other topic because you find it entertaining, I'll be happy to reply. Hire me or eat SH word. Sincerely, Graham. When cocked at about it, he says, I don't seriously want a job from these people, but I was just trying to make a point. Anyone who knows me knows that I kid around like this. And you can kind of see that from the tone, which is like, look, you know what? I'm making money off these people the way that you're making money off these people by suing them. So where do you get off coming after me? All I'm doing is putting up a form for service. Legally, I don't know if they can go after him or not just for putting up a form. It's like Nolo Press, right? You can get those Nolo Press packets yourself at the bookstore, and if you misuse them, is that Nolo Press's problem?
Tom, lawyers are people too, okay? I just, you know, we may have characterized them perhaps poorly in today's show, but I just want to say lawyers are people too.
We'll wait for proof on that. I know a lawyer. As far as I know, he's a person. He used to be a product analyst for Fresh Gear on Tech TV, and now he's a lawyer. So
who?
Phil Allingham.
Phil's
a lawyer?
Yeah.
That's scary.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, on to the calendar.
Comments to be made. All right, the calendar. The Dell Venue Pro, finally available to order. This is the Windows Phone 7. It's going to be available on T-Mobile. $99 on contract if you go for a two-year plan. And what's cool about this thing is it's got a monster screen, 4.1 inches. And then you can slide down the keyboard, almost like the BlackBerry Torch. So it's a lot of screen plus a tactile keyboard. But what's different about this is if you're just listening, it slides down not when you're in landscape mode, but when you're in portrait, just like a BlackBerry does. So it's kind of cool.
I slipped in this next one. Do you want me to handle it?
Please, whenever you throw in an
IPv6 makes your eyes bleed, I know. But the global pool of IPv4 addresses is set to run dry in mere weeks. Now, they handed out two more blocks yesterday. They only have four more blocks, and given the pace and the expected request, they think that they'll be giving out two more blocks in mid-January, 7 weeks from now, and probably the other two shortly after that, which means we probably would actually run out of IPv4 sometime late next year, maybe be able to squeak through to 2012.
All right. Now that we know that the apocalypse is upon us, I'm going to go make sure I'm stocked up on spam back there. Whew, geez, Tom. YouTube, new ad formats hitting today. Here's how these are going to work. There are two different versions. You can play one for 5 seconds, and after which you'll have the option to skip the rest of the ad. Or you can choose which ad you want. They'll give you a choice of which ads you want, and you can choose it. And the interesting thing about that format, and actually both of them, is the more receptive users are to them, they think YouTube will charge the advertisers less, which incents the advertisers to create more entertaining ads. So that's kind of a cool concept. If you accept that ads are a part of life, at least they're trying to make them better.
Choosy mothers choose GIF ads.
Exactly. And then what are we trying to get people to do for us here this holiday season, Jason?
Lots of things. Visit bit.ly/TNTHoliday2010 to see what they are. Best of TNT submissions, Dancing with the TNT Stars, which is tenuous at best, and Open Mic, which is your chance to be on the show. And
we need are the best moments of 2010.
Best moments would be preferred of all, but... Check Mike's a good one, too.
All right, on to the voicemail. Our caller has a comment on the issues between Comcast and Level 3, which, by the way, I shortened to L3, but there is a company called L3, so maybe I shouldn't do that. So Comcast and Level 3, here's the voicemail.
Hey, guys, Rapid Eye here, just calling about this whole Level 3 Comcast snit. And if I'm Level 3, I take a pretty pragmatic approach to this. I basically say, really, you want to charge me so that your paying customers can access my content. Good luck with that. Just sit back and watch Comcast get buried underneath the avalanche of customer support calls because all their friends that are on AOL can access Netflix, but they can't. All right. Take care. Bye.
Does AOL still have broadband?
That's the most intriguing.
I think of dial-up when I think of AOL.
Yeah, that's true.
But don't let that distract you. Well, that's the point, right? If there's enough competition, then Comcast isn't going to do this, or it's not going to be in their best interest because everyone will get upset. They'll swamp their phone support, and they'll possibly switch to another provider. Problem is, a lot of people don't have a choice.
Right. I mean, that's where you want the free market system to work here, but fundamentally, the infrastructure just isn't there to create enough choice for a lot of people.
Unless you use wireless, which is not going to be regulated at all. But there is more choice in wireless. It's just not as good for video.
Mm.
All right, on to the emails to TNT@twit.tv. Corey in Germany said, I was driving home from a trip to Normandy, France this weekend and stopped at a Shell station along the A4 French highway. The credit card machine was having serious problems for the person in front of me, so the clerk reached down beneath the counter. A few seconds later, I saw the OS2 warp splash screen go across the computer monitor. I must have stood there in awe for 2 minutes watching the computer boot. Only in France do operating systems never die. I just couldn't believe it. A circa 1994 OS still alive and kicking on the French roadside. Anyway, I thought Tom would get a kick. I did get a kick out of that. OS2 warp. Sacre bleu.
Well, you know, if no broke, no fix, right? I mean, if it's still doing
except
the job.
Except it was broke.
Well, but not broken for this particular gas station, apparently.
Well, that's how he noticed it, though. The thing was broken. It probably reboots all the time.
True. What will endure? This email is from Doug in Virginia. He says, holographic World Cup. You may have seen this already. I'm only halfway through yesterday's podcast, but I thought the idea of a holographic World Cup played in other stadiums was a pretty neat idea. And what he's talking about is Japan talking about in their bid for the World Cup soccer tournament, saying that what they would do is broadcast in holographic form in other stadiums a full 3D match in hologram form, which is just mind-boggling. That is a great use of the technology if you're a sports fan. And I love the way that sports and porn ultimately push technology forward on all fronts.
Yeah, I want to see this demonstrated first because, I mean, it looks cool, but that's so Photoshopped, that picture that they've got where the ghostly players are running around on the pitch. But how cool would that be if you could go see? I mean, yeah, that could change sport forever. And it's going to happen, whether it'll happen in 2022 or not. That's a whole different matter.
And I mean, think of all the people who just want to get together and watch their team who's playing away, and they want to have that communal, you know, feeling, and they're willing to watch it on a cruddy big screen that's far away just to be amongst the community. If you also had it in some form like this, maybe you could have both. Maybe you could have the hologram plus the stadium TVs broadcasting the game, and at least it would give you a slight feel for the game.
And to be honest, you know, the people that go out and brave sleet and hail and rain to enjoy their sport, they're not very close to the action anyway. What's the difference? No. You just put the holograms out there and not even tell them. You probably wouldn't know because most seats are so far from the field anyway.
That's true.
All right. Thanks, everybody. You can find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us TNT@twit.tv or give us a call 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.